Music, בבקשה. רבי יוסי מזרחי here, I don't need to introduce him to you, you know him better than me. בעזרת השם, he is going to be here tonight to speak about a couple things, בעזרת השם. He had Shabbaton, just for the people that came in the last few minutes. Rabbi Yossi Mizrahi will have Shabbaton within 3.5 weeks here. The Shabbaton is going to be in Hebrew. However, if we will have enough English speakers here, we may push 1 or 2 hours of English. Be'ezrat Hashem, everybody is invited. Everybody got to be registered on this form on the entrance. If you won't be registered, it will be a problem in the future. We won't be able to accept. We have limited places. Thank you very much. Good night. Good luck. Kvod Harav.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here again. I was here a few months ago, and we had a long marathon into the night on Friday night. Baruch Hashem. In 20 years, it was really one of the best lectures I had. And some lectures that you remember, then you know they were one of the best. It was right here. בעזרת השם, we're going to have Shabbaton, we'll be even better, בעזרת השם. תודה רבה. You know, when I come to places like this, I see people like Rav Maoz, you know, that start something from nothing, and all of a sudden Hashem helps so much, and so many Jews gather together and come, it makes me very happy. I see so many people come, and just remembering a year ago, it just started with nothing, and all of a sudden, Baruch Hashem. It's mamash, if it gives us pleasure, imagine how much pleasure it gives Hashem, when his children come to hear words of Torah. However, there is a sentence in English, it's not from the Torah, but it's a clever sentence. There are two clever sentences that I heard in my life. One from the secular Israeli and one from the secular Americans. Each one of them, if Hashem would have given me permission, I would add them to Pirkei Avot. The Israeli one is Tzochek mi she-tzochek acharon. Doesn't matter who laughs in the middle. Bottom line, who make it and who did it? Nobody remember what was in the middle. Bottom line, shura tachtona, that's what count. That's a clever sentence. And the American, excuse me, don't get offended, but I didn't invent that. It was made in America. Haderech lagehenom retzufa bekavanot tovot. The way to hell is full of great intentions. Meaning, a person has all the time the right idea what he wants to do, and in the end, he failed. What makes a person fail in life? In everything, what makes a person fail? You want to be a computer engineer, you fail. What made you fail? You want to be a big lawyer, you fail. What makes you fail?
Hard work. No.
I know you can tell me 20 different things from the top of your head. You can tell me laziness, you're not serious, you can say a lot of things. You didn't have enough money, you were disturbed, whatever. All kinds of things you can tell me. But I'm not interested in all the list. I am only interested in the most important thing from the list. What is it? When a person, what's the biggest enemy of a person in his life? Evil inclination is actually one of the greatest things the person has. Do you know why? When a person gets a hard job from his boss, he hires him. Very hard job, but he pays him $30-$40 an hour cash. So he works 10 hours a day very hard, he makes $400. It's very good. In his previous job, he made $400 the whole week, sitting on a desk. Now he works very hard and he makes what he made in a week, now he makes in a month, in a day. So the question that I have is, the boss that torture him and give him such hard job, is doing him a favor, or is hurting him? Doing him a favor. When Hashem gave us the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, it was to give us resistance that we will overcome the Yetzer Hara, that Hashem gives us a reward in the eternal world and the next world. If we didn't have Yetzer Hara, we would not have any challenge. We wouldn't have any test. Therefore, we don't deserve any reward. So the Yetzer Hara is good or bad? It's very good. So that's not what I meant. What's the biggest enemy of the person's life?
Desire.
One word.
Feeling.
One word. Kadima, I know there's so many people here. One of you have to tell the answer.
Ego, pride, no?
All of what you said, you're correct. I want the root of the problems. The root. What is it? Yeah, femoral. Here you go. You saved the lecture. What? Ignorance. Ignorance? Sorry. You know, I was in the Israeli Air Force. My ears are not so good. So, ignorance is the biggest danger to the person's life. Remember this, please don't ever forget this. If a person want to be successful in anything in life, can he be successful if he does not learn what needs to be done? You come to me for a job. I say, come, no problem. Come to me. Okay, you're gonna make $10,000 a month. If you're not gonna do the job correctly, I'm gonna sue you and for millions. It's not a joke, this job. You work, you do your job, I'm gonna pay you $10,000 a month. You don't do it correctly, I'll take my lawyers after you for the rest of your life. Good luck. So the person say, excuse me, but what is the job? So it doesn't matter. Can he achieve any success if he doesn't know what to do? Many of the secular Jews, unfortunately, look for excuses not to keep the laws of God. Why? It's hard for them. They don't plan to live in this way. They are not interested. They have other plans. All kinds of reasons. One of the excuses that they use is, I believe only in the written Torah, but I don't believe in the oral Torah. אני לא מאמין בתורה שבעל פה. The rabbi has made it up. You're telling me that I cannot do this in Shabbat, that I cannot do that I can do this. The rabbi has all made it up. The answer to this person is, use your head for 2 minutes. You don't need more than that. After you think, after me, follow me, you will look at yourself as the dumbest person ever lived. After you hear what I have to say in the next 2 minutes, you're gonna hold your hair and say, what a fool I am. How didn't I think about it earlier? I'll give you an example. I'm a commander in the Israeli army, in my dreams, but for the lecture. So I'm coming, you know, big macho, almost 7 feet tall, 6 feet wide, muscles, very strong. I come to my soldiers, all of them standing over there. We're ready now to go to Lebanon to hunt Nasrallah, Yimach Shimo. So now I tell them, this is the destination, this is the goal of the operation, but I don't give them the plans. And I say, someone who will do what I say, when we come back to Israel, we'll get promoted and we'll get from the army a huge amount of money. And someone who will not fulfill the goal of the mission will go to jail for 10 years. Is it possible that I'm going to give a person such a punishment and I will not explain the plan of the operation? I won't say where to go, where to hide, who comes from the left, who comes from the right. No instructions. I don't give any instructions. I just say, we have to do something. Okay, explain how to do, doesn't matter. But remember, if you don't listen to me, you will be executed and I'll cut your soul for eternity. Why? Because you did not keep my eternal covenant called Shabbat. How to keep Shabbat? Doesn't matter, you don't have to know. So what did you make Hashem? Dumber than the dumbest person in the world? Do you really believe that Hashem is dumb, chas v'shalom? Do you think that a secular person that doesn't want to keep mitzvot will ever dare to claim that Hashem is dumb? He will make excuses, but I don't think any chiloni thought that Hashem is dumb, right? I don't think so, no? Person see the world, you know Hashem is not dumb, chas v'shalom. So why are you saying in your words that Hashem is dumb if you don't think so? Why? Because you don't want to keep. So you make excuses, but you don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a written Torah, and he say 12 times you must keep Shabbat. If you don't keep Shabbat, chas v'shalom, you should be put to death, and I cut your soul for eternity. And then you ask, but where does it say in the Torah how to keep Shabbat? Nowhere. So what do you think Hashem is playing games? He gives us Torah in front of millions of people in Mount Sinai. And he says, Shabbat is eternal covenant. Ot I b'ni u'b'nechem. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. La'asot et ha-Shabbat ledorotam brit olam. B'ni u'b'nei Yisrael. Ot I le'olam. The nation of Israel keeps Shabbat for eternity. It's a sign for eternity. It's an agreement. Shabbat, it's an agreement. It's not a day off. Even a king that never works, all day lay on his bed, and people give him massage and money, he still have to keep Shabbat. But he doesn't work, he doesn't need a day off. All his life is a day off. He still have to keep Shabbat. It's nothing to do with a day off. Shabbat, you can work physically very hard that by the end of Shabbat you cannot stand on your feet. You're collapsing. You did not violate Shabbat. Or you sit and do nothing, and you go like this. And you already violated Shabbat. Oh, you turn the light on, that's it. The old Shabbat, you lay like this, you did nothing. Or you press on your iPhone a few times, finished. You didn't sweat, no? Right, to press on the iPhone, it's not so hard, no? Huh? You sweat a little bit, no, okay. So the point is, there is one seat here. For one of the girls there that stands in here. You good? Okay. So, what is the thing that the speaker likes the most when he comes to a place and he look at the audience? What is the moment that the speaker gets strong encouragement? Who knows? Huh? When there's not enough room for all the people to sit. But it's a mixed feeling. It's a Baruch Hashem, people come to hear Torah. But then you feel bad that the people stand for 2 hours. I was now in Israel, I had a tour in Israel. In some of the lectures, more than 100 people standing in the back for 3 hours. One time I had a lecture in Brooklyn, started at 8 o'clock at night. Guess what time it finished? 7:30 in the morning, and 25 people were sitting on the floor, leaning on the wall, because there was not enough chairs. 12 hours to sit on the floor. Imagine the pain. I sit on the floor in Tisha B'Av 2 hours, 1 week my back hurts. And other places that I don't want to say which one. Huh? Exactly. So when I came out, I forgot that I spoke for almost 12 hours, and I saw the sun is rising, bumper to bumper. Everyone go, if you know New York, from Ocean Park, where everyone on the way to Manhattan. I said, wow, I forgot that's already a day. Everyone goes to work in the morning. People forgot about work. Nobody cares tomorrow, they have to go to the business. Sat there for 12 hours, not 1 minute break. Baruch Hashem. So, Baruch Hashem, maybe you get some more chairs for the people. Oh, there's upstairs also room. Upstairs. There's room upstairs. Okay, shh. Is it possible that Hashem gave us Torah, written Torah, and he did not explain how to keep the 613 laws, and in the end he's going to punish us? How can it be? Even I wouldn't do such thing. Right? I wouldn't do such thing. If I want to give someone a punishment, at least I explain to him why. Before, not after. You know why we're killing you? Because you didn't do this and this and that. But how am I supposed to know that I have to do it? And you're telling me after the fact? So I don't think that Hashem would give us such a book in such an event without explaining to us how to keep Shabbat. Where did Hashem explain how to keep Shabbat? Torah Shebe'al Peh. You can't understand one law in a written Torah without the oral Torah. Remember this. We would not know without the oral Torah Hebrew. We wouldn't know the language. We would not know grammar. We would not know male and female language. We would not know where to put a comma and a period. We would not know where to start a new line in the Torah. We would not know how to make the scroll of the Sefer Torah, from what animals, how long does it have to be, what ink you use, what feather you use, all the thousands and thousands and thousands of laws that we keep today for 3,300 years, all of them came from the oral Torah. So the next time you try to claim such a foolish claim that you only believe in a written Torah, 2 minutes at least think. Without the oral Torah, Judaism could never start for 1 minute. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu came from the mountain with the scroll, as soon as he began to read it, he would say, well, we have to circumcise the babies. They would tell him, what does it mean to circumcise the babies? So Moshe would say, I don't know. It say here on the 8th day to cut the orla. Right, the way the Jews would begin a fight. What's orla? Itzik say, I think it's this. You don't need it. Let's cut it. Ah, baby, you want to cut his ear? Are you crazy? So what's orla? Avi would say, orla, it's probably this. Moshe said, no, maybe it's the nails. That's orla. Then another wise guy would say, no, you guys all fools. Hashem didn't mean to cut something in a baby. He meant you put a nice sweater on him, and then you cut the sweater. That's orla. Right away, you have 50,000 different Brit Milah. Multiply by 3,000 years, today you know what would be Brit Milah? Icy style. Chop your head off. Mitzvah from the Torah in the 8th day. The baby is born. Shh. Why? It said to cut the orla. That's the orla. How would you know where the orla is without oral Torah? How do you know how to cut? How do you know when to cut? How do you know in a day or in a night? How do you know by a man, by a woman, by a Jew, by a non-Jew? How do you know what to do when the baby is yellow? Maybe he's not healthy. How do you know if to cut in a baby is 8 months old? He was just born in the 8th month. Do you have to wait? How do you know if you're allowed to cut on Shabbat or not? Because in Shabbat you're not allowed to cut and take blood out. How would you know all these thousands of laws? The answer, there's no way to know without the oral Torah. Now, I want to tell you something that a lot of you do not know. There are two kinds of sinners in a world. Two kinds of sinners. There is something that called chote. It's making sins. And there is another category. It's called chote umachti. What's the difference between chote and chote umachti? I will explain it using the ladies, with your permission, as example. What's the most important thing in the eyes of God when it comes to a Jewish lady? Modesty. Why modesty is so important? Why it's so important? There's kosher food. What if she eats pork every day? It's not important. It's also a very big thing. If she steals every day, it's not important. If she curses all day, it's not bad. If she violates Shabbat, it's not bad. All of that is bad. Why modesty? It's a whole different league. Nothing to compare, Bichlal. Comparing between modesty to all the others, it's very big foolishness. Why?
Because it affects others.
Very good. Because When you make one sin between you and Hashem, your friend ate shrimps, you're very hungry, you eat kosher usually, but I don't know, something happened to you, moment of weakness, you took one. So you made one sin from the Torah between you and Hashem. One sin. Tomorrow, you did another sin. One more sin. Shabbat come, you made another sin. Now you have three sins. Like this all your life. Another one, and another one, and another one. After 10 years, you have maybe 2,000 sins. 10,000 sins. 50,000 sins in 10 years. One day you go out of your home, mini skirts, all your legs are out, short sleeves, open in the back, attached to the breast, or all these things the way the ladies do sometimes. In one day could be millions of sins. What she doesn't do in 10 years of sins, 10 years of sins, 10 years. One day walking not modest in front of millions of people on the street, it could be millions of sins. That's why the Torah focuses so much about modesty. And let me explain to you how it works. The Gemara in Masechet Sotah, page 2, the Gemara says, "Mezavgim lo la'adam zivug lefi ma'asav." A person gets his soulmate based on who he is. The Gemara say, "Modest girl to the tzaddik, to the righteous boy. Prutza, not modest woman, to the wicked boy." Right away, there is a serious question that is rising. Why the Torah used by the man tzaddik or rasha, righteous or wicked, but by the woman there's no such thing, righteous and wicked. Only one word. Prutza or tznua? Modest or not modest? What? By the woman there's no way to be rasha or tzaddik? Only by the man there's tzaddik and rasha. By the woman is only one mitzvah? Tznua or not tznua? What about all the rest? What about Shabbat? What about kosher? What about mezuzah? What about so many things? Since all of them together doesn't even come near modesty, the Torah focuses on modesty. You will never find in the entire Torah that women got a compliment from Hashem unless if it's about modesty. Sarah, beautiful, modest. Rivka, modest. She covered her body with the camels around that nobody would pay attention to her. Everything about Jewish ladies in the entire Tanakh, modest or not? Modest or not? What about the chesed that she does? She cooked for the yeshiva 30 years every day. But it's not enough. It's a very big mitzvah. What about she ate strictly kosher all her life? What about she never said one Lashon Hara in 30 years? What about Shabbat? She was makpid 100%. None of it is important. Of course it's important. But if we speak about modesty, everything else is peanuts for a woman compared to that. If you're good with modesty, you already have 60-70% of Judaism in your pocket. You don't have that, you fail your mission in life. Because Hashem cannot stand women that are not modest. It's a big problem. If I would write the Torah, maybe I'll be more lenient. I wouldn't be maybe, but I don't remember that Hashem called me when he wrote the Torah. Hey, Yosef, come here. I want to ask your opinion. What do you think I should do to the ladies that walk half naked on the street? Hashem, you know, understand, you know, they grew up in America, all day brainwashed, television, this. What do you want from them? They don't know. Hashem said, oh, you know what? You just changed my mind. I was about to be very strict. I'll take your advice. I don't remember it happened, not even in my dreams. So in case you're planning to blame me, I'm not the address. You have to blame Hashem. Do you have the guts to blame Hashem? No. So you have to blame yourself. You can't beat him, join him. I always say, what do you, big shot, big shot? You want to go against Hashem? But Rabbi, Hashem gave me such beauty. I have to show it. Ma, what's the point of all this? Ma, yes, show it to your husband. Together when you're alone. Mitzvah for your husband. Go like this to your husband in a bedroom all day. Beautiful, no problem. When you with your husband, go every 2 minutes to the bathroom to fix your makeup. Not in a club. We are with your husband, mitzvah. Why Hashem gave you beauty? For your husband and you to enjoy from it. Not everything that belongs to you and your husband belongs to Tony and Vinny and Jose in a supermarket. When she leaves the house to buy a few tomatoes. Well, you're going 5 minutes to the supermarket, 55 minutes preparation. And then before she leaves the car, she turns the lights on. Why? Amigo is going to put the tomatoes in a basket. Oh, senora, muy bonita. And now she goes home. Ah, wow. Life is great. Come on, what is this? Hashem says, Habibi, you're a princess. You represent me in the world. I'm not interested in more creatures. I'm interested in a human being with dignity and modesty. I gave you the Torah, you have to be very careful. You cannot make your body the property of all the amigos on the street. I don't like it. And that's why Hashem is very strict with that. Now I started to explain. When a person make one sin, and another sin, and another sin, and another sin, it adds up. But when a woman walk 1 hour on the street, Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, with non-modest clothes, and everyone looks at her, what do you think goes through their mind? They say, ah, it's time to say Kriyat Shema now. You know? So every bad thought right away goes to her account. Another one, and another bad one, and another bad one. In the average day that she walk in the street like that, she can gain millions of sins. Not to talk about actions that people do after. One woman in Israel, that's a true story. She's not religious at all, and perhaps even hate religion. So there is one Baal Tshuva in the office, he became religious. And he sits in front of her, like this, face to face. He's in his desk here, and she's right here. And you know how she comes in the hot summer of Israel, everything open, cut. And he said to her, Shir la ma'alot, make sure that my eyes doesn't come up. All days like this. He's afraid to pick up his head. His neck hurts already. He comes home, his wife says, what happened to you? He said, I cannot pick up my eyes, the way she dressed. So one day he came to her, he said, listen, look, you have to be considerate, it's not fair. You know I'm a religious man, I can't, it's too much of a temptation. Please start dressed, put a jacket, something. What? Kfiya datit? You tell me what to do? Listen, go sit in your place and don't tell me how to dress. Tell your wife how to dress, I'm not your wife. It reminds me. One religious guy in the Knesset one time gave a speech. And there's one woman, very, very wicked. In the meantime, she died. But back in the days, she was very, very wicked, and she hated the Torah and the religious people very much. So one time he spoke, this religious guy, and she got up like a real witch. And she said, if I was your wife, I would put poison in your tea. So he said to her, if I was your husband, I would drink that tea right away. Better to die and not to be a minute with you. So this woman, she doesn't want to get dressed. So he comes to his rabbi. He said, Rabbi, I know parnasa is important. I know I have to feed my children. But I know I don't have to do it by committing sins every day. That's not what Hashem wants. Tell me what to do. Should I quit and look for another job? Should I stay? What should I do? The rabbi told him, don't worry. You came to the right address. I wasn't the rabbi, but there was a clever rabbi. And he said to him, you came to the right address. Tomorrow morning, when you go to work, take a suit that is already out of style, that you don't care anymore, that it's ready to go to the garbage. Wear it. On the way, stop by the gas station, and when you put gas, you take the pump, you know, and you go all over that suit, put gasoline. A lot. Make sure it's soaked with gas. and you walk into the office and you sit 3 steps away from her. As soon as you walk in, she's going to smell it, she's going to choke. What's going on here? Said, that's my new perfume. From now on, every day, you're going to smell this. And she said, what, you're crazy? I can't breathe. Don't tell me how to do, how to live. Tell your husband what perfume to put. Don't tell me. 1 hour, she's going to come like a rabbit scent. Don't worry. She said, you got me. After that, she started to come cover. But it's a shame that he has to beg her to dress, which is her obligation. Now, I know it's big yetzer hara for the women, because the reward for that is the highest. That's why all women, pretty, not so pretty, skinny, heavy, tall, short, smart, foolish, Jewish, not Jewish, all women have this strong desire for 2 things. 1, to dress not modest. 2, to have 500 pairs of shoes. You give women 500 pairs of shoes, no more demands. So, I don't know why women like shoes so much. No? Or men also like to collect shoes. Let's get serious. The Gemara says, one guy fell in love with a girl in a neighborhood. You know, fell in love. He see a young girl. She walks every day on the way to Bet Yaakov. He comes from his window like this. That's it. So he came to the doctor, what we call a shrink today. And he came to him and said, Mr. Shrink, my heart shrank. I have no more life. I can't focus. I can't eat. I can't sleep. My life is a nightmare. I can't. Please help me to get married to this girl. They came to the girl and said, listen, save a life of a Jew. Marry him. She said, not my type. I'm not interested. They say, but he's going to die from a broken heart. I'm sorry, the Torah say your life comes first. So you want me to die from a broken heart? So the doctor came to the rabbis and said, rabbis, what do you suggest? Do you give permission that she would be with him intimately one time to relax his yetzer hara, that he can relax? And then that's it. Would you give permission to save the life of a person? The rabbi say, let him die and he won't touch her finger. So the doctor suggested, okay, so they won't be fully intimately, but she will walk in front of him, you know, with her high heels, the Twin Towers, you know, and he will look and she smiled to him, good morning, Moshe, that's all. What's the problem? Not touching, not talking, nothing. She went like this, no problem. Doctors say he better die and she won't walk one step in front of him because they know what's in his mind. When he looks at her, what does he think? It's against the Torah. Torah says, "Lo taturu achre levavchem v'achre enechem asher atem zonim achareem." As soon as a person look at a woman, first, second, it's not a sin. Accidentally, see, she came out of the hallway. Oh, he saw her. First, second, it's not a sin. From the second and on, every second it's a sin. One of the worst in the Torah. It's contaminate the mind. I want you to understand, there are 3 levels of sins. Sins that a person does with his mind, sins that a person does with his mouth, and sins that a person does with his actions, with his hands. Which one of the 3 is the worst? Technically, the Torah say to do. In this world, you have to do. If you don't do, you don't do. But it's not true. Why? Because if a person killed someone with his hand or with his body, he ran and banged into a person, he fell and died. This can happen to a lion and to an ox. Animals can also do sins with actions, even though it never crossed their mind to commit a crime. But in the mind, only a human being can sin. Animals cannot sin in the mind. A lion that attacked the zebra doesn't have in his mind, I'm going to murder. Ah, my enemy is here. Let me chop his head off. No. So sins with the mind, it's something special to human being. To people. Usually when the first phone ring, everybody has to pay attention before it happens to me and I look like a fool, let me put it off. So far it happened 13 times already. In life, you have to learn from other people's mistake. If somebody made mistake, you don't want to repeat the same mistake. You already see that it's not pleasant. So, but you wait and see, it's gonna ring again soon. How do I know? 20 years I give lectures. Soon you wait and see. Where is Doron? No, make a ring to save me. Okay, now, shh. So they say, the doctors say, okay, but he's gonna die from a broken heart. He can't focus, he cannot do anything, his life is finished. How about they talk on the phone? This was 2,000 years ago. What's wrong in a story?
No phone.
There's no phones. But the Gemara say, how about they talk on the phone? The Gemara say, how about they talk from two sides of the wall? There's a wall. She stand on one side, and he stayed on the other side. And they talk without looking at each other. No bad looks. Okay? The Gemara say, he will die, and she won't talk to him on the phone. That's what we call today, talking on the phone without seeing. He let him die, a Jew will die. Do you understand what it means? You're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat to save the life of a Jew. Mechalel Shabbat, you understand? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you have a house worth $100 million, pay attention to what I'm saying right now, because it will wake you up real good. $100 million mansion. And inside the mansion, another $100 million of antiques and Picasso pictures. So $200 million invested in this beautiful home that it took 10 years to build. After you put your life into this house, on Shabbat, fire began. Lo aleinu, cigarette fell, something, I don't know, the candle fell. The house, the Shomrei Shabbat, $200 million mansion. They keep Shabbat. The candle fell Friday night. The Persian rug begins to go on fire. Quickly, the whole house begins to go on flame. But in the beginning, you have a minute or two that you can put the fire off. You take a blanket or something, you choke the fire. Otherwise, $200 million with rare antique Picasso picture will go to the garbage and there's no replacement. Picasso is not here anymore, in case you didn't know. Cannot ever do it. So you're about to see 10 years of your life going on fire, and all you have to do is to violate Shabbat only one time, not because you want. You love Hashem. You're never there to be Mechalel Shabbat, ever, ever. You quit cigarettes on Shabbat, you quit work, you close your business, you sacrifice so much to be Shomer Shabbat. Because you know, Shabbat is the covenant, is the foundation of the whole Torah of Judaism. But now you have a misfortunate situation. $200 million would go to the garbage in 10 years of your life. You're not allowed to put the fire off. You can go out to the street and scream, amigos! Someone that will put the fire off would not lose from it. You can't even tell the amigo, please come and put the fire off. I'll give you X amount of money tomorrow. You can't. To tell him to put the fire off, you're not allowed. You can only hint, scream. Someone that will put the fire off will not lose. And if the amigo is clever, he will get the point. When it comes to money, everyone clever. They get the point. Or you scream, everyone that will put the fire off will get good cerveza tomorrow morning. When I move, my friend is a religious guy, he owns a moving company, but all the workers are Spanish. So I said, I won't be like the people who give the tip in the end of the job. Why? Because these workers all day they think, is this guy generous or stingy? Generous, stingy, generous, stingy. So they can't focus on a job because they worry how much tip they're gonna get. So I say, I'm gonna be clever. I'll grab them right away as soon as they come in the morning. I come, I'm talking to you about 12 years ago. I come to each one of them right away, I give him $50 cash. A few workers, 50, 50, 50, and bring a box of beer, cerveza, cold beer. Say, guys, enjoy. I give a Mexicano Mexican beer and $50 to start the day. You should see how they work. They moved a big wall unit, you know, like this, worth 5 tons. They came home, my wife was outside, I'm standing inside the house, now I have to, it's in their hands. I have to tell them where to drop it. So I say to myself, let's put it upstairs in the room. It looks, I don't know, I'm a designer. I say, upstairs, upstairs. They go all the way up, my wife comes in, oh, what are you doing? That goes over here. No problema, senora. Right away, running all day like this. Say to myself, how come nobody thought about it before? By the end of the job, it's not going to help you anymore. You give them up front, they'll give you their life. That's the way the world is. Don't be a fool. After, you have to give it to them anyway. Otherwise, it's Chilul Hashem. But in the meantime, they didn't do such a good job because they were worried. It's gambled. It's to gamble. Ma, I'm going to give my life and this stingy Jew will give me $15? That's the way it is. So, that's the way it is on life. You come to the gas station, he knows every time you give him a dollar or two, when he sees you, he runs to you first. Man, what's the other guy going to give him? Maybe something, maybe nothing. You, he knows, you come every 2 days, full tank, he gets $2. He's happy. Soon as he sees you, you don't have to wait online. He runs to you. So now go back to our story. $100 million goes on fire in front of your eyes, $200 million. And you cannot put the fire off. Unless if there's a life risk, there's a baby upstairs or something like that, his life is in a risk, then you can put water, everything. Life risk. The Gemara say the man fell in love with this religious girl. He's going to die. Let him talk to her on the phone 5 minutes. Save his life. We give up Chilul Shabbat to save his life. $200 million, we cannot violate Shabbat. $200 billion, we cannot violate Shabbat. All the real estate of the world, we cannot violate Shabbat one time to turn the light off. No permission. All the real estate in the world, trillions of dollars, we're not allowed. It's against the law. Life risk allowed. Life risk when it comes to talk to a woman on the phone, modesty, Hashem said, let him die. What kind of contradiction is this? You're willing to burn trillions of dollars not to do one violation on Shabbat. But for life risk, violate Shabbat, mitzvah. And to talk to her on the phone, no. From here you understand what modesty is. The women would only know. You know, I once made a lecture, and in Israel, they made an article about me. Guess what was the headline? I'm starting from the end of the story. Now I'm going to go to the beginning. I gave a lecture about modesty. All of a sudden, I get a telephone from Walla. There's a news in Israel, Walla news. Some woman, Rabbi, yes, we're making an article about you. I say, yes. So people got angry that you're encouraging women to be assassinated for not being modest. I didn't know if to laugh or to cry. I say, is this a joke or it's serious? They say, well, that's what we heard for some of the people. I said, what are you talking about? She said, this is one of your YouTube clips. That I said to her, I don't know which one you're talking about. I have thousands of them. She said, let me send it to you by email. She sent me the link. I said, okay, call back. Let me watch it. 10 minutes clip someone cut out of my lecture. This is what I say over there. Look what the world we live in. I said over there, the Torah say, not me, the Torah say, there is a crazy person. He walked on a field and he saw a cow. Cow! Did you ever hear that a man fell in love with a cow? It's in the Torah. The Torah says the man came, excuse me from your honor, and he raped the cow. That's what he did. The Torah says two witnesses saw it. They testify against him in a Jewish court. What's the Jewish court has to do? The Torah says execution. Jews and non-Jews. A non-Jew also is not allowed to rape an animal or to have relation with an animal. So if a person did such a thing, it goes against the nature of God, execution. Every act against the law of natures of Hashem reflect an execution punishment. Gay, going with animals, all these things is execution right away with no mercy. From here we see we don't have permission to go against the laws of the creation. By going against the law of the creation, you rebel against the boss rules. Who are you, you little mosquito? Who are you that you dare to rebel against me? I'm giving you oxygen and you use it against me? That's why Mechalel Shabbat is also execution. Because Hashem made the world in 6 days and in the 7 days he rested. No permission to create anything. And when the Jews create fire on Shabbat or riding or anything that they do, it's against the law of nature. Because the law of nature, it's a cycle of 7 6 days, everything gets done. 1 day, spiritual rest. You go against me, I don't want you in my world. And don't say I wrote it, because it's in the Torah. So what is the video, the YouTube video? I say, a crazy person, normal person wants to rape a cow, come on. It's not a normal person. The Torah say he went and did it. The Torah say execution. So far, it makes sense. Now comes the surprise. What do you do with the cow? Also execution. It's not fair. Excuse me, Hashem. I'm sorry that for saying it. It's not fair. Not only the cow got abused. Now the cow has to put to death? Come on, where is the justice? If somebody run on the street and mug me, I'm getting punished for the theft? He has to get punished, not me. I am the victim here. So why Hashem say to execute this cow? Why? Two reasons. Main reason the Gemara say that if the cow will still be around, let's say the cow belonged to Mr. Isaac, whatever. Every time people would walk by this cow, you see this cow? That's the cow that Itzi got killed because of it. That's the cow that Itzi raped. It's Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem. Disgrace to the name of Hashem, he cannot tolerate. When people would say, this Jew lost his share to the world to come, he was put to death because he raped this cow. He raped this cow. And people, it's big Chilul Hashem. It will go on for years. Hashem said, get the cow out of the face of the earth. That's one reason. Second reason is that Hashem himself look at the cow. And this cow, it's like a memorial for the horrible crime that was done, that one of the sons of Hashem lost his eternal world because of a stupid act. So Hashem said, don't leave any record for the crime. So I say to the Jewish ladies in my video, I say, dear sisters, if the cow that never committed any sin and doesn't have a free choice, and the cow never thought I'm walking naked and someone will do something to me, it never crossed the mind of the cow. So the cow is totally innocent, totally. It's not even 1% guilty, nothing. And Hashem say, wipe that cow from the face of the earth. A Jewish girl with a divine soul, a daughter of the creator of the world. There's not that many like this in the world. 2-3 million of them in a world of 7.5 billion. 2-3 million princesses, each one a representative of Hashem in a creation. She is willingly making the guys make sins with them on a weekly or daily basis. what will be their end when they finish their life and stand in front of Hashem. That was my video. Now you tell me, did you ever hear that I called to kill the women? But the Israeli newspaper thought that now I opened ISIS operation. You understand? Because we live in a world of lies, and most of the people would lie in any way just to get themselves to look right. But Judaism, first condition is to be above your interest. The truth is above everything, above everything. Le'olam yeh adam yireh shamayim. A person always should be fearful from God. Baseter kevagalui, inside his home, on the street, always fear from Hashem. Not only when he's in front of people and make a show. U'modeh al ha'emet ve'dover emet bilvavo. Always admit for the truth. Always think the truth. Not only say the truth. Your mind, your heart, your mouth equal. Not one in the heart and the opposite in the mouth, like the fakers and hypocrites. No. The Torah says, Arur ha'oseh baseter. There's a verse. Arur means curse. Who got this curse? The snake. After the sin of Adam and Chava, Hashem cursed the snake. Arur ata mikol chayat ha'sadeh. Arur means cursed. When the Torah used the word curse, Arur asher lo yakim et divrei ha'Torah hazot ve'amar kol ha'am amen. Hashem say, someone who does not want to publish my Torah, yakim, will make it up and rise. Someone that can care less. Someone that can teach Torah and he doesn't care. Someone that can give money to sponsor Shiurei Torah and he doesn't give. Someone that can sponsor CDs and save souls and he doesn't care. Instead, he buys a stupid yacht and another $50,000 watch and another 5 cars and another home here. And instead of saving souls and spreading my Torah, the Torah say, Arur asher lo yakim et divrei ha'Torah hazot, and the entire nation of Israel scream, Amen. It's in the Torah. Har Eval and the Har Gerizim, the two mountains. So now the question is like this. The Torah says, Arur ha'oseh baseter. Someone that hides and makes sins is cursed. Excuse me, I disagree. How they say in Israel, lo mkubal alai. I love this. Lo mkubal alai. No, who exactly are you? Are you a competitor to Hashem? What do you mean, lo mkubal alai? What, does two Hashem, one disagree with the other? Who gives you life, bichlal, to disagree with your creator? You have to say, I don't understand. Please help me to understand. What does it mean it's not acceptable? But I'm asking a question. What's better, to make a scene in front of everyone and do chilul Hashem, or to hide inside the bathroom and make a scene that nobody sees?
If you do it by yourself, if you do it in person, when you're hiding, it's showing that you're not scared of other people. You're scared of other people more than you are from God.
You got to the root of the problem. But you're not supposed to do it so fast. You know? now I got stuck now.
Sorry.
So I'll tell you a story. A man wants to make a scene. Look, we're talking about Shabbat and modesty. Soon we'll talk about something else, because this is the most common problem that everybody has to focus on. One person wants to make a scene. So he called, Christine, yes, are you available tonight? Of course. He wants to make a scene. You know, it reminded me, one electrician in Israel, Lord, listen to this story, listen well. One electrician lives in Tel Aviv, had a job in a hotel in Eilat. You're familiar with Israel? Mm-hmm. Back in the days, Eilat was about 3 or 4 hours ride. Today, I think they have better roads. 4 hours ride, it's far. He went with his crew to work in that hotel in Eilat. But they didn't finish the job on Friday. And the weekend, the hotel is full with people. They can't work now. Not because they care about Shmirat Shabbat. If it was inside, they would work, fix it on Shabbat. But because the guests, you know, this activity, why are you pulling wires? You have to wait and come back Sunday. So he called up his wife. He said, what do you think? Should I drive all the way now to Tel Aviv and then drive Sunday morning back again? Or maybe I just, they're willing to give me a room here. I just stay in a hotel, finish the job Sunday, and Sunday afternoon I'll drive back home. So his wife, naive woman, she said to him, no problem, honey. You can stay in a hotel. Top. So our electrician decided to spend the weekend in a hotel in Elat. When a man sits in his room Friday night, what happens to him? The Satan comes. Hi, what's up, buddy? What's up? He's sitting here alone in front of this lousy television. Look at the phone book in the drawer. Open it up. Wow. 1-800, dial. He dials to say, you have a girl to send to this hotel? That's a true story. They say, yes. How do you like her? Blonde, black eyes, you know, all this nonsense. Whatever. They agree on the price. Oh, he's waiting, brushing his teeth, putting his, you know, nice. Fix his hair. He opened the door. Who did he see? His daughter, student from Tel Aviv University, came out. True story. She came, she saw her father, she screamed, and he started to go crazy and scream, and as he's screaming and crying, he got a heart attack, fell, and died. That's what happened. If Beit HaMikdash would be exist today, it would be destroyed the next day. So, that's what happened. After such a tragedy, I said if Beit HaMikdash would be exist today, that's probably what would happen. It would get destroyed from such a tragedy. So I started to explain that Torah ze arur ha'oseh baseter. Someone who hides and makes sins is cursed. And our first question comes to mind, what do you mean? And if he does it in public, it's even worse. So the Torah asks, the Gemara asks, what's better, ganav or gazlan? Which one is worse? Ganav means you turn your head and he steals from your pocket and hide it. It doesn't steal in your face, behind your back. And gazlan, steal in your face. What are you going to do? I don't want to give it to you. Which one is worse? Which one is worse? The one who laughs in your face and steal it in your face? Or the one who is embarrassed from you when you turn around, you steal it without you knowing? The Gemara say, the one who does it behind your back is worse. Because the one who does it in your face doesn't care about you, ignore you, and laugh in your face, which means he doesn't care about you, and he doesn't care about Hashem. He doesn't care about you, and he doesn't care about Hashem. But someone that cares about you, so he's embarrassed to steal in your face, that means you are more important in his eyes than Hashem, because on Hashem he doesn't care. He only cares about the owner of the item. So means Hashem says, so that means he's more important than me. The gazlan, he doesn't care about you, he doesn't care about Hashem. So you and Hashem is equal for him. But the ganav, you are more important than Hashem, because for you, he cares, but from Hashem he doesn't care. So the Torah says, arur ha'oseh baseter. So I started to tell you a story. One person wants to make a scene with a woman. He goes to the hotel. He was about to go in, and he see a goy, a non-Jew, walks by. How are you doing, sir? Smiling. So, this guy know me. I'm a Jew. Now it's embarrassing. So he said to her, listen, let's go. We'll come back next week. I'm not in the mood now. What happened? This guy know me. He saw me here. So what does he do? He said, excuse me, did you see by any chance my key here? I lost the key. He's embarrassed. Next week they came, they walked in a room, they see a little kid, his parents forgot him in a hotel already 2 years ago. He's sitting over there on the bed, looks at him, says, what are you doing here? So he said, go to mommy. No, you go buy candy. Ah, he begins to scream. So he said to her, I'm sorry. She said, what do you care? He's 2 years old. What does he understand? He said, I can't do a scene when two eyes are staring at me. I'm sorry. Let's come back next week. So they came back next week. A little dog, puppy, is on the bed, looking at him like this. Say, what are you doing here now? Get out. The dog begins to get angry. Get out. No, the dog doesn't give up. So she said to him, come on, don't tell me you care about this dog now. Well, fine, the kid, but what do you care about this dog now? He said, I can't. She said, what do you care? He said, I can't. Two eyes staring at me. I cannot make the scene. Not scene. For him, it's not a scene. I can't do it in front of this dog. I can't. That's the story. One day, this person died. He comes to his trial in front of Hashem like we all will do, whether we like it or not. And Hashem will show him that incident, how he came once and twice and three times. And Hashem will give him such a shout. He said to him, Chatsuf, az panim shekamocha. You have no shame. I am worse than a dog in your eyes. In front of the dog, you couldn't do it. You're embarrassed from the dog, but you're not embarrassed from me? What about me? I don't exist. Where were you when the Torah is full of examples? Ayin ro'a ve'ozen shomad ve'chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nichtavim. There's an eye who watch you. There's a ear who listens to you. And everything you do is registered in a book of Hashem. Where were you when it's all over the Torah? How can you ignore such thing? The answer is, we sometimes care about people, but we forget that we have to care about Hashem, not what people think. Only what God thinks. He's the one who gives me oxygen. Guys comes to me and say, Rabbi, I want to do a separate wedding. I want it to be kosher. I want to start my life in a kosher, modest way. But my parents don't let. They go crazy. They scream, my mother crying, don't embarrass us. We have important people. What are you going to do? You tell the men here and women over there, please, just do this for us. Lots of pressure. What should I do, Rabbi? So I always answer them one answer. I say, I want to ask you a question. You have two ways in front of you to enter. One and two. First way, millions of people standing, kissing your hand. Ah, we love you. You're so great. We're for you. We will vote for you. We'll support you. We'll give you money. We all love you. We admire you. But at the same way, Hashem say, I can't stand you. I can't look at you. You're a hypocrite. You're an ungrateful person. You're done with me. That's one way. And the other way is the other way around. Everyone scream at you, booze, fanatic, you crazy. What is this? This you and your religion. And Hashem saying, I love you, my son. Great. I'll never forget what you just sacrificed for the truth and for my laws. I'll never forget it. Remember this. I love you. I'll bless you. I appreciate you. You start your life with your wedding in a modest way. And everyone curse you. Get lost. But we shouldn't even be your friend. We can't stand you. Which one of the two you want to walk in? Not one person until today ever told me that he would like to walk with the things that everyone kiss him and Hashem angry at him. So why in reality they don't do it? Yetzer Hara is very strong. I will read to you the words of the Rambam and we'll finish here. And then maybe you have a minute for questions. The Rambam, I'm going to read it in Hebrew and translate it to you. אומר הרמב״ם, ולא אמצא עצה ללמד אמת. I will not find any other advice but teaching the truth. שהוכח, truth, that it's proven. אלא על ידי שיתאים למעולה אחד, that will match to one superb person. Person that looks for the truth, one great person. The truth that I'm going to teach, I have hundreds of people, I have thousands of people, I have millions of listeners, doesn't matter the number, plenty. And I know with the time that I'm about to open my words from the Torah, that from these million people, or 10,000, or whatever it is, only one will appreciate and change based on what I'm going to say. And the other 10,000, what are they gonna do? They scream, they curse, they fight against you, they spit at you. We don't wanna hear you, don't come here anymore, we'll never let you speak. This, the Rambam, not me, Rambam, 850, almost 900 years ago, the biggest rabbi in the last 1,000 years, all over the world. No doubt about it. Almost all the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rambam. He was the great mathematician, philosopher, doctor, astronom, everything you want, he was. There's a statue of Rambam in Washington. He's one of the greatest 18 people who ever lived on this earth. So even the Goyim acknowledge him. The Rambam writes, ולא אמצא עצה לומר אמת שהוכח, אלא על ידי שיתאים למעולה אחד, ולא יתאים לעשרת אלפים שחלים. The truth will apply to one Jew only from 10,000 people in the audience. One will change for the better, 10,000 will change for the worse. They got angry that you spoke about someone that violating Shabbat, that he cut the connection between him and Hashem. They got angry. The women got angry when you spoke about modesty. The men got angry when you say not to steal in a business. The gays got angry when you say it's against the Torah to be a gay. Everyone got angry. 10,000 people, they heard the speech. Every 5 minutes got somebody else angry. But there was one honest person there that say, I am the loser. The Torah is the winner. The Torah is the truth. God is correct. I am the loser. I better change before I'll get destroyed. And he changed for good. And 10,000 became haters of Hashem and the Torah. Listen to what we're saying here. I'm dropping an atomic bomb on you now, spiritually. I rather say the truth for the one. ולא אחוש לגינוי ההמון המרובים. אני הרני מעדיף לאומרו בשביל האחד, ולא אחוש לגינוי ההמון המרובים. I can care less about all the barkings of all the people. I can care less what they say. ואטפל בהצלת אותו האחד. I put all my effort to save that worthy Jew, that righteous Jew. I put all my efforts and focus on him only, knowing 10,000 will get worse. It's not my problem, it's their problem. I have to say the truth. Mima shenilkat bo, that this Jew is locked, not knowing what he has to do. Bemvuchato ad sheyagia leshlemut veirvach, until I get him out of his evil inclination in his dark spiritual world, and finally he'll get saved. Lefi she'anachnu ma'adifim. This is the foundation of the Torah. We prefer she'imashech acharenu ba'al sechel. That one clever person will follow us be'yediyat ha'emet, knowing the truth of Hashem. Ve'afilu echad ve'afalpi she'itrachaku mimenu אלפי שחלים בגלל דעותיהם התפלות. Knowing thousands of foolish people will use what we say as an excuse to run away from religion. We knew it in advance, not after the fact. We knew before we started to talk, one from the 10,000 people will become Shomer Shabbat and stop with the sins. And 10,000 will be enemies of Hashem and the Torah and become worse. Would we say or we shouldn't say? The answer of the Rambam, don't say me. Don't dare to say me. Rambam, the greatest. We must say the truth and we don't care who cares what. We don't care. That's why on the next time, you always remember, when you come to a lecture, don't look for someone funny and charismatic that tell you story baloney. Only someone that shake your heart and read to you what the Torah say. You don't like it, it's offend you, you're not in a level, no problem. No one became Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai overnight. We're still trying. But at least you know that's what needs to get done. That's why I always love when people write to me emails. I love what you say. It's very painful, I admit. But I love it because you say it as it is, and at least I know what needs to be done. Maybe other places, they tell me all kinds of things I like to hear, but it's not the truth. The truth, even if it's disturbing, but it's the truth. It's my choice to do or not. That's my problem. But I'm not going to fight and twist the truth because I want to be crooked. I'm not going to twist them the way of God to my evil way to feel great. No. I say the truth is here and I am there. This is where Hashem and I am there. I know. I have a problem. Pray for me, Rabbi, that I'll do tshuva. Give me a good book that I can read. Help me. Give me the right CDs. We brought you CDs here. Where is the suitcase? Right here. There's a lot of CDs. After, now Rav Maoz will come and Ezrat Hashem will start his speech. After the speech, please take free CDs. And also, if you have friends that didn't come tonight, everyone should know. I have a website, Baruch Hashem, Hashem Helps, one of the most popular in the world. Not in the Jewish world, in the whole world. Millions of people every year. It's called divineinformation.com. You have about 2,000 good lectures there. All the proofs, life after death, purpose of life, scientific things, Shabbat, modesty, all the laws, arguments, almost not one topic in Judaism you don't have there. Everything. You have everything ready, free of charge. You have a free app, Divine Information 2.0. We just made a new app a few months ago. Divine Information 2.0, fantastic app. Now one problem, bli ayin hara. Thousands of people downloaded every month, new ones, not one complaint. The other one, every 2 minutes, I have problems. This doesn't work, this model doesn't work. I beg Hashem, I'm begging you, please, I don't have time for this headache. Thousands of downloads, Baruch Hashem, not one complaint. It's not realistic, but Hashem helped. It's downloads, many people download all day, they connect to Torah. Bechavod kvod harav. Thank you very much, we'll see you soon.
Great class.